Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Welcome to On the Rise, a podcast about female college tennis players on the way up. On the Rise serves compelling stories and unique voices in women's college tennis. This is your host, Perry Scheinen. In this episode of On the Rise, I will be speaking with former world number 35, Cece Bellis, who was the top junior in the world before a breakout tournament at the 2014 U.S. Open. At age 15, Cece became the youngest player in nearly 20 years to win a U.S. Open main draw match. 2 years later, she was named the WTA Newcomer of the Year. Cece announced her retirement in 2022 and recently shared the launch of Carton Capital, a venture capital firm at the intersection of sports and technology. Welcome to another episode of On the Rise podcast. I'm joined by former world number 35, Cece Bellis. Cece, how are you?
Good. Thanks for having me. Excited to be here.
Thank you so much for joining. First, before we even get into this, I want to ask about how your recent life has been founding a venture capital firm, Carton Capital. What has that been like for you?
Yeah, it's been really crazy. It's been a goal of mine for a really long time, so it's exciting to kind of finally see it through and yeah, just really ready to get the ball rolling.
What is so special about this firm? What makes it different than others?
You know, I think our focus on sports and health, especially with my background, makes us really unique. You know, I've built out a really strong team of around 7 advisors that have, you know, expertise in different areas. So my advisors have backgrounds in private equity, in professional sports, in health, in startups, and were successful previous founders with exit. So really excited to get going and try and use my perspective and background in a good way.
And you have so much experience already in business. You're getting your MBA at Miami. What has that process been like for you to both be a venture capitalist and also be a student?
Not for the faint of heart, absolutely, especially during finals week. But I chose Miami because it was it's a fully online program. I knew I wanted to continue working while I was getting my degree. I didn't want to stop any momentum. So I knew I wanted to pick a program that gave me the freedom to do it, you know, and have class at night and be able to work on weekends. That was how I did my undergrad when I was playing tennis full time. So I was used to it. And that's why I chose Miami. It's been incredible and, a huge asset for me, especially with where I am in my career right now.
And going back to your undergraduate experience at Indiana University East, I know WTA has a partnership with that program. How important was that to help you get ahead while you were also playing professionally?
Yeah, it was great. You know, I had been injured for quite a while before I stopped playing. And that entire time I was focused on my degree, it gave me something else to really focus on. And growing up, school was such a big part of my life because I was planning on going to Stanford at one point. So I was really excited to continue learning and was so happy that the WTA partnered with IU. And it's such a great program. So I'm really grateful to have been able to do that.
What was that experience like balancing the highs and lows, the volatility of being a professional athlete with also having school and having those classes as a constant?
I tried to navigate it as best I could. I think there was one instance where I was playing in the Australian Open that I had a final during one of my matches that I couldn't make. But other than that, everything went really smooth and I really enjoyed being able to kind of decompress at the end of the day after maybe a long training day or something and have something else to focus on. I think it was really healthy. As a pro athlete, it's tough to sometimes see yourself outside of the sport. And, you know, your whole identity isn't just being a pro athlete. You know, for me, I was always really interested in business and venture capital since I was, you know, a little kid growing up in the Bay Area. So it kind of gave me that outlet to pursue other things, especially, you know, at the end of the day and really take my mind off of tennis sometimes.
And a big part of Carton Capital is your dad. How important is he in getting this off the ground and using his experience as well?
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm 24 years old. I don't have as much experience as, you know, a normal, even first-time fund manager. That's why I tried to build out my advisory board and have the most experience on that end. And of course, my dad is my acting CFO and his experience in finance is invaluable. He launched 2 hedge funds himself. So he knows all the details, has been in the nitty-gritty of where I am now and has been, you know, such a huge help in addition to my advisors that have way more experience than I do.
How important was your dad in your childhood as a tennis player? And obviously he's helping you now with venture capital, but how has that relationship shifted?
It's so crazy to think about because both my parents were such supporters of my tennis career and my mom played in college. So like she was my first coach growing up and they were so supportive of all of my tournaments, my travel, everything. And now it's the same, but just in a different way. And I think it's in a way that's, you know, even more fulfilling for myself just because I get to be around my family all the time. I'm an only child, so I'm literally best friends with my parents. And so we get to be around each other so much. When I was traveling, I didn't see them that often and it was kind of sad. Same with Sam, you know, when I was traveling, we didn't see each other too often. And now it's so nice that I get to do something that I love. And, you know, my entire career as a tennis player is, I'm still kind of reaping the benefits from that in this career. And I get to be around my family and still, you know, work with my dad in that sense. So it's even better now.
So if we hop back to 2014, when you made your debut at the US Open and, of course, take down Dominika Sivakova. How did that influence the rest of your path and even get you to where you are today?
That was such a crazy time for me. You know, I was coming from a mostly junior career. I hadn't played many pro tournaments before that time. So it was I was kind of thrown in the spotlight with everything going on, which was such a fun experience. And I look back at it with the fondest memories. And it propelled my career definitely and kind of gave me a look at what the pro tour and pro life would be at a young age. And, you know, I didn't take any of the prize money. I was still planning on going to college after that. So academics were still a huge part of my life. But yeah, it was a great kind of first step in my playing career. And I still get messages from people saying that they watched me in that match. So it's continued to pay dividends, so to say.
If you could go back and give yourself any advice after that first night when you woke up to all of these lights and action, what would you say?
Oh my gosh. Looking back on it, I wish I maybe handled managing media a little bit better. Like so many media requests were thrown at me at that point. And I think trying to balance that was still relaxing kind of at the end of the day. And I had a couple of days off before my second round at that point, and most of my time was spent doing press. So I think at that point, I was so exhausted going into my next match that I knew I had to manage it better the next time. So it's, you know, hindsight's 2020, right? I was never going to be able to figure that out at that point since it was the first time I'd ever experienced something like that. But yeah, you know, looking back, just kind of managing press a little bit better. But, you know, what can I say? It was a great period for sure.
And you were 15 years old.
Yeah, that's a while. It feels like so long ago now.
What did you take from your first career overall that you're now bringing to Carton Capital and just bringing to your next chapter of your life?
Oh my gosh, so much. I owe everything to my tennis career. I could have never jumped into VC, you know, 3 years ago when I did, if it wasn't for my tennis career. You know, I think VC is so hard to get into, but I was able to get on board and start working for a VC firm that was focused on sports and health right when I stopped playing. And I stopped playing way before I announced it on social media. I think I only announced it like a year or two ago or something, but it was way before that.
What was it like with that identity shift? Because it seems like you did this seamlessly. I mean, it's not easy to go from your first career in the spotlight to a second career in the spotlight, but in a different sense. Did you have the vision for yourself and how did you carry it out so quickly?
Oh my gosh, that's so nice. I'm still, you know, kind of struggling a little bit with that. But yeah, so I think growing up in the Bay Area, kind of in the Silicon Valley area, I was always around venture capital and I knew I wanted VC to be kind of my long-term career post-tennis. So it came a little earlier than expected, but I was so excited that I got the opportunity. So I've tried to pick an area of venture capital that has made the transition a bit easier. Obviously, being in sports and health, that's where my background and my interest lies. But I appreciate you saying that because it doesn't feel like that all the time.
And what would you say about this year as a whole? I mean, I know we're only basically halfway through the year, but it's been a huge year for you. You also got married. What was that like? And what is married life like?
Oh my gosh, it's amazing. Yeah, you can see his Florida shirt in the back right now.
He was an NCAA champion.
Yes, he was an incredible tennis player. And yeah, it's great. We've been together so long. I think this is like our 9th or 10th year together. And we dated for, yeah, like 8 or 9 years before we got married. So it's not too different. He's, you know, my best friend and partner. So yeah, it's been awesome. And the wedding was the best time ever. And we went on a skiing trip afterwards, which we both hadn't been able to do in a while from tennis. We didn't kind of want to get injured while skiing, but that was something that we had on our radar for a while. And we finally got to do it since we both weren't playing. So yeah, really exciting. And life is great, honestly.
Has it helped to almost move on with tennis alongside Sam?
Yeah, totally. Because, you know, he stopped in the fall of last year. And, you know, I think we've supported each other a lot through both periods when we were stopping. We've actually just talked about that the other day as well. Like, we probably both wouldn't have done it as early as we did if it weren't for the other person and the fact that we felt, you know, so supported with the partner. So, yeah, it definitely helped a ton. So he actually, we just got back from UF because he's going to law school there now, Sam is. So he's a double Gator, which is really exciting.
Looking at that from the outside, do you wish sometimes that you had that college tennis experience?
Yeah, you know, I've thought about that a lot too, because, you know, Stanford would have put me in such a different position educationally coming right out. But after, you know, the WTA partnered with IU, I was so happy since that's such an incredible institution as well.
And if we could talk a little bit more about the identity shift, because that's really what a lot of On the Rise is about that gritty transition period between being young and being one thing and then finding yourself in another space. What does that transition look like for you on a daily basis? Do you still have sports in your life? And in what way, you know, are you still being an athlete?
So I love working out still. I am a huge runner. I run every morning. I also love playing pickleball with my family. I know that could, like, you know, set off some some groundbreaking opinions from people. I know. So, yeah, I feel like if you're a former tennis player, you either hate pickleball or you love it. I love playing with my family because, you know, people of all ages and all levels can play together. I think that's why it's so much fun. It's so social. So Sam and I love playing with our parents and we have a great time doing that. And yeah, I'm a huge runner. I love running every morning with our dog.
And when you are perhaps feeling like things are not yet together, what do you use to keep everything in perspective? Because I'm 23, you're 24, we're both building separate careers, but also in sports. What would you say to yourself or what would you say to others who might feel like the pieces aren't yet in place?
That's such a good question and something I'm definitely still trying to figure out, but I think fortune favors the brave. And that's what I'm going with right now. And we're in our early 20s doing some pretty awesome things. If we, you know, in our early 20s doing this now, imagine what we're going to be doing in our early 30s, in our early 40s. You know, it's just it's a learning and growing experience. We don't need to know everything right now. I don't think anyone expects us to, but we're on the path to be experts in the field that we're in. So I think, you know, being brave and doing stuff that is maybe out of the ordinary is going to favor us in the end for sure.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Cece.
Yeah, thank you. My name is Cece Bellis, and I am On the Rise.
This has been an episode of On the Rise, a Tennis Channel podcast in partnership with Behind the Racket. It's produced by Molly Getman and Lyric Bowditch. Join us next time to continue our conversation about women's college tennis. This is Perry Scheinen, On the Rise.